Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win!
Ayler's gone! Goodbye, touchdown!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hey, everybody. Another week of Indiana football coming up as the season's getting started. Game one. College football has returned, although it came back this past weekend a little bit. We'll talk about that, but all kinds of things happening. But the fish is back. Don Fisher returns this week. Today, as a matter of fact, he'll be with us. Looking forward to that. Glad to have each and every one of you available or along with us, no matter where or how you're listening on one of our great radio station affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, always the right call. Or up in the region, of course, that's down in Evansville, up in the region on 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380 The Fan. Great to have you along. How was your weekend? Are you ready for game week, baby? College football's here. It didn't even matter who you're a fan of. It's just a great time to see the return of college football. Had a little taste of it over the weekend. Some close games. One game that may end up impacting Indiana was the Kansas State-Iowa State game that happened in Ireland, in Dublin, Ireland. And Iowa State comes out with a win there, which is, if you're an Indiana fan, that's what you want to see because they play Iowa, I believe, in week two. So that'll be interesting because if they ended up beating Iowa State, that would be a ranked Iowa team that Indiana goes to visit then, which would give them back-to-back-to-back ranked opponents. So if you want to talk about schedule, there you go. Appreciate having everybody along. It's like everybody's – and how about this weather? What, are you kidding me? This is insane, man. It is absolutely insane how great this weather is. Right now we're, 10 degrees below the average temperatures for this week. So that enjoy it while you can. I don't know how long it'll last, but it'll be around for a little bit at least, without question, because we're heading towards fall. And it'll be here on its own merit. But right now we've got it. And it's great. You want to talk about excellent football weather? That's it. This is the deal, baby. Makes you kind of, it just makes you fired up, doesn't it? Just, it's kind of hard to get up on a beautiful day like this and just not be happy as can be. I hope you had a great weekend. Football week, but Derek is curious about Fish's thoughts on the Puerto Rico trip. Man, come on. Come on. You can't be talking basketball in game in week one of college football. You still got months. Months. I'll ask Don about that, but I've already given you my thoughts. Well, you don't trust me, Derek? I'm kidding. But we can bring that. We'll bring that up to Fish. But I think that everything about that Puerto Rico trip has been laid out. There's no opinion that's going to be different than what you've already heard. That is the fact. I get it, Gritty. It's Indiana. Love your basketball, but you know what? You got a football team now. America, they got a football team now. How about that? looking forward to it. Let's see, over the weekend, I watched some golf as well as I was able to play in the Peggy Chin Cheryl Memorial outing that was on Saturday. Without question, the greatest golf event I get to play in all year long down at home at Valley View Golf Course in Southern Indiana. It's just what a remarkable job that Courtney Cheryl has done. Her mom passed away of sudden, unexpected, SUDEP is what it is, for epilepsy. And they've raised nearly $300,000 over the course of this tournament, which I think this was the 15th year for that. So congratulations there. But all kinds of great things going on, man. The Fish is joining us this morning. Greg Rakestraw will be along, Dustin DePerrick as well. And then we also today, the coaches show this Thursday. And then we've got a press conference with coach today. So, yeah, you've got it all. It's all starting, man. It is all starting. Looking forward to getting it on. But man, I am I'm fired up about football. College game day, don't forget. Lee Corso's last appearance on college game day comes up this Saturday as well, as he will ride off into the sunset as they are at the Ohio State-Texas game to open up the season. Man, that's going to be interesting to watch as well. Cannot wait to see that. That's going to be a fun game. There's going to be quite a few games. Unfortunately, you'll probably end up missing quite a few of them because of being at the IU game. But I can't wait for all of it, man. It's here. It is here, and I'm here for it. There were like five games this past weekend. The Iowa State Kansas State was probably the only true. It was the only game that had ranked opponents in it, and it was a good game. But the funny thing is, all these games seem to be good games. Yeah, the Iowa State wins 24-21, and I think Kansas State lost their running back, man. The guy that they was expecting a lot from. But people naming their starting quarterbacks. I don't think Kurt Cignetti names a starter, from what I remember. He just doesn't name one. No point in it. It's not like we don't know who it is. We do. And there's no point in creating all that ridiculous drama. I'm going to be honest with you. A few years back when it was, oh, is it going to be this guy? Is it going to be that guy? And it ended up being the wrong guy for the wrong reasons. I think that may be part of the reason why that wasn't done in the past. But all kinds of games coming up this week, man. This Thursday. It starts on Thursday because of the holiday weekend on top of that. So it's a bonus weekend. Boise State at South Florida. That's on Thursday. Then you have the Illini, Indiana's future opponent, coming up on Friday. They host Western Illinois. And then on Saturday, the game of the day, number one, Texas, number three, Ohio State. The beginning of the Arch Manning era. Are the Colts tanking for Arch? We shall see. Tennessee and Syracuse. Old Dominion, Indiana, of course. Number two, Penn State. They host Nevada, Florida State, and Alabama. So just by looking at that and knowing that Florida State is in the ACC, I also know that Alabama, I believe, plays Wisconsin this year again. So that gives Alabama two Power Four teams that they're playing already. So they were already playing a higher schedule. Iowa State this week will host South Dakota. Of course, that's without the quarterback that has moved on to Iowa. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Oregon is hosting Montana State, Oklahoma, Illinois State, Florida, Long Island University. Wow. I know them from basketball, but I did not know that they had a football team. Let's see. LSU Clemson. Now there's a game for you. Number 9 LSU, number 4 Clemson, Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator. All kinds of interaction there. I'm trying to look through some of the other games for those are all just through Saturday. And then there's games on Sunday. Notre Dame, Miami. Mm-hmm. Number 6 Notre Dame in Miami, Virginia Tech, South Carolina. Lots of action. Well, that one didn't show me, so thank you, MJ. I appreciate you. That'll be a cool game. Nebraska, Cincinnati, Thursday at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. Yeah, multimillionaires all over the place. Andy asking, you know, I know we'll be primarily talking football with Fish. Would be curious for a few of his thoughts on basketball, especially DeVries. Okay, we'll get it, guys. But, you know, basketball's so far off. We've got so much time. I'm really surprised that with this being game week one, the interest in basketball first. But we're going to take a break so we can get to it quicker. When we come back, Fish should be joining us. Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle. We look forward to bringing you more on the other side. I was trying to find some kind of walk-up music for you today, man. So the return of the Fish, because everybody is fired up, they're ready. I even had a few people asking about basketball, and I'm like, hold on, people. It's football season, baby. It's game week one. We'll get to that. But great to see you again. It's been, feels like forever, but actually it seems like yesterday we stopped doing this. How was your summer?
My summer's been terrific, Jim. There's no question about that. I played a lot of golf, as you know. That's probably my hobby in the summertime.
I've heard that.
Yep. And I've had a great summer. I really have. My wife and I took a little vacation. It was not a long one, just about 5 days, but we went down to Hilton Head. I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico with the basketball team, which was really a fun time. And
I was thinking this morning, did your wife make that trip?
No,
I didn't remember seeing her, and I was wondering.
She didn't take me to France with the Pacers, so I didn't take her to St. Juan with the Indiana Hoosiers.
Turnabout is fair play, baby. Turnabout is fair play. Oh, man. And I want to go ahead and get it out of the way, because I've already had people asking to get your thoughts on Puerto Rico and DeVries and the team. I was fairly impressed with what I saw. But they want to hear from you. And what were your quick observations?
Well, the thing that I like the best is just how hard they played and how well they played, in the sense of their resilience coming back, as Coach DeVries talked about since he's been back. He really liked the resilience of this team, battling from behind on all three games, really. When they started out with that Puerto Rican team, which was not a very good team, they got behind in that one just briefly, but they dominated that ball game and then came back against the Serbians, down 23 at one point in the second quarter, had it down to 13 at halftime. And then the second half, they blew them away in the first matchup. And then the second game, they were down 20 at halftime, 50-30. And were able to chip away until they got it down to the end and made every play at the end of the ball game to win it. So this is a really good group of young men. There's no question about that. How talented they are, we'll find out more of that when they start playing the real games, so to speak. But I thought the Serbian team could have competed in the Big Ten based on their talent level. So I have nothing but good feelings about this coach, about his staff, and about the players that he recruited to come to Indiana. again, all first-time guys for the most part, with the exception of two walk-ons. And I think we're going to see something at Indiana that the Indiana fans are going to love watching.
That is pretty much exactly what I've said to whether if I've been talking to Todd or whomever, people that I know that really respect and care. I'm like, you're going to enjoy watching this team. They're going to, the first things I've said, they're going to play their butts off on defense. They're going to shoot from outside. They are playing together. They are bonded together. All that stuff we have heard before. This is for real. And it's palpable. And I'm not saying that they're going to go out and win the Big Ten championship or an NCAA championship, but they're going to beat teams they're not supposed to beat. I think they're going to upset somebody. And I don't think you're going to see a lack of effort from this team.
No, there's no question. I mean, that Darren DeVries is a really good basketball coach. What I saw in San Juan told me that immediately. But I knew that beforehand. And the reason I say that is because in his opening press conference, when they introduced him to the Hoosier Nation, in my opinion, he said so many of the same things that Kurt Cignetti said when he came here. And I don't think he was copying Kurt in any way, shape, or form. I just think that's his philosophy. And I think Scott Dolson recognized that, having hired Kurt Cignetti. And then Darren DeVries, I think he felt like these are two guys that get exactly what Indiana basketball and football are all about. So all I can tell you is from a basketball perspective, I can't wait for the season to get underway, just like I can't wait for this football season to get underway.
Yep. Speaking of football, I think fans should be just as excited this year as last year, although last year was just such a shock. This year, there comes expectations. And the sheer fact that Las Vegas has set Indiana's over-under for wins at 8.5, which if you go back and look at the lifetime of Indiana football, there has never been an expectation 8.5 for a win total for this team. So they are on their way to, and they will have the opportunity to be right back where they were last year. But it all starts with game one. And I know Kurt Cignetti would not be happy if you're looking at the Illinois game or the Iowa game or anything like that.
Right.
We'll get there. Old Dominion, who's a team that Indiana should readily beat. I'm not going to lie. But this is also not Indiana State. It's not one of those an FCS team.
Right.
They're a legit team, man. They had a good season last year.
Yeah, and they've got a coach that's done a great job there. Ricky Ronnie has been there for 6 years, I think, now, and his programs have always been tough. This Old Dominion team has upset Power Five back in the day when it was Power Five football programs. I think they knocked off Virginia Tech twice. Can't remember who the other teams. They've had upsets against a lot of ball clubs, much like Mid-America teams have done with Big Ten teams. So this is a good program. Old Dominion's got a good football team. There's no doubt about that. I get a chance to talk with their head coach, Ricky Ronnie, later today. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. And without question, Kurt Cignetti in the spring did a tremendous job of regrouping his football team with the transfer portal. He's done a great job recruiting high school players as well. I don't think there's any doubt about that based on the number of guys he's got coming in as freshmen this year. I just think the program is never been in better condition at the start of a season than Indiana football is right now. And everybody recognize that last year based on what he was able to do in his first season at IU. I'm talking about Cignetti now. And of course they had to retool, so to speak, a lot of faces from the transfer portal that were done with their eligibility after last season. And he was able to do that. And of course they've got a new quarterback in Fernando Mendoza. They've got a new running back in Roman Hemby and Lee Beebe. That's another running back that they got from UAB. I think both those guys really complement one another as being different kind of backs, but at the same time, they've got the leftover, not I shouldn't say leftover, they've got the holdover in Kalen Black, who I think is a really good back as well.
All three of those guys are kind of different. And when you right. said complement each other, do they? And I remember last year, Kalen Black, boom, to burst up the middle. Roman Hemby is an all Big Ten running back, people. So he didn't just bring in a running back. And then they just seem to me, they have more weapons, but maybe it's because of the offensive line. And it all starts and ends on both sides of the ball in the trenches. But, man, have they upgraded theirs in Mikowski from Ohio State, a Floyd Central kid, Pat Coogan from Notre Dame at the anchor, centering in the center spot. You've got Drew Evans back. They've shored that up. Kurt Cignetti saw the weaknesses, I guess you could say, for that team. And they had to have a weakness, and that was it. But shored that up, and they put themselves in a position. I think it's personally a better team than it was last year. That doesn't mean they're going to go 11-1 or 12-0, but they're a better team offensively. They're without question, I think, a better team because they just have a little bit more weapons. You don't have Curtis Work was as spectacular as could be, but not only did he play with that ACL problem for, we don't even know for how long, he really nearly tore his tip of one of his fingers off. And played like that as well. So, and Fernando has the mobility. I think that's just going to add a little bit more to that offense and going to make it more dangerous. And we know Kurt Cignetti, he loves to go after people, and he will be doing that with every weapon he has.
There's no doubt. And I think on the defensive side, they have one of the best linebackers in the country in Aiden Fisher, just a tremendous football player, a great, great leader. Especially on the defensive side of the football. This guy is just, in my mind, very special. D'Angelo Pons, another All-American at the corner position. They filled in some of the spots that they lost key players in. Obviously, C.J. West is no longer there, but they've got some nice defensive linemen that they brought in. We'll see how they, transfer in and what they can do as players and add to this defensive group. I just think that this is a real well-rounded football team, just like it was a year ago. We didn't know it at the time, but it turned into one tremendous football team. And we'll see how this works this year as well. But they filled in the spots that they thought they had to fill for the most part. Tight end Zach Horton's gone, but they've got some two or three other guys now that they feel are very solid performers, will be solid in that position as well. So they've got a football team. I think that, look, Kurt Cignetti knows what he's doing. He knows how to build what he's looking for and what he had to fill in with. And I think he did a remarkable job in that vein. And now the only question mark is, how difficult is this schedule that Indiana's going to play? And there's no doubt it's much tougher than it was a year ago. And therefore, the expectations are high, and yet people maybe still have a little doubt in their mind about how good this football team can be.
Well, they do, and I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about outside of
Indiana
fans. They are still, and I'm like, get off. I personally, even though I don't have a dog in that fight, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about their schedule from last year. I'm like, shut up. I go, they have a whole new schedule this year. That includes opening up with a top 10 Illinois team. That means going to an Iowa team that could be ranked by the time they get there because Iowa plays Iowa State in week two, who is already ranked. Then they go to Oregon and play. So that's in the first six games. Be quiet, people. You'll know. So I think Indiana has a great opportunity to put to hush those people up, and they'll have to do just that. They have to go to Iowa and win. They have to take care of business, but don't want to get too far ahead of us. I do want to ask this because I don't know if we'll get this out of Kurt Cignetti this early yet, but the SEC announced last week, Don, that they are going to go to nine conference games, and they won up the Big Ten by still requiring each program to play a P4 school on their schedule as well. So that is really going to I was like, okay. And I will guarantee you, people may disagree. Kurt Cignetti's statement at Big Ten Media Days really stoked the fire because what he said was accurate. And if they're going to stand behind thinking they're one of the best or whatever, they couldn't do this on the eight conference games anymore. So, but now they've not only said, I'll see your nine games. I'll see your nine games and I'll add a P4 conference team. My question is Indiana going to have to go back and reschedule some of these P4 schools that they've canceled?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, because there is definitely a rivalry between the SEC and the Big Ten. There's no doubt about that.
There's definitely one between the SEC and Kurt Cignetti.
That's true. And, of course, a lot of the Big Ten coaches have also backed Cignetti's comments and at the Big Ten Media Day in regard to the scheduling. So it needs to be, I think, from the standpoint of Indiana football, you could say this. Indiana football is no longer the little stepchild that has been sitting around and been, or the redheaded stepchild that's been sitting around all these years. And it's right now, Indiana is in the forefront of everything, every conversation that's made about college football. Indiana's in that picture right now. And that's something we have never seen.
Yeah. I mean, we would always think of the Big Ten as the Big Four in the several years there at the end, with Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and even Michigan State in that Big Ten East. And Indiana was, and all the other teams were always fighting to get in there. Well, Indiana is one of those teams now.
Right.
They are one of those teams. And it's going to be interesting to see. My thoughts are Indiana will probably end up at 10-2. But that's not, that doesn't say that I don't think they can go to Oregon and win. That doesn't mean that I don't think they can go to Penn State and win. I'm not going to predict what the hell is going to happen in 2.5-3 months from now. You never know. But even at that, that's going to be a great season. And I'm looking forward to each and every one of these games play out. But we've got game one in front of us, Fish. What are you looking forward to just seeing this Saturday at Memorial State at the new Merchants Bank Field at Memorial Stadium?
Absolutely.
You got to get ready to start saying that, by the way.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. Mike Petrie and I have been friends for a long time, the man who was in charge of Merchants Bank. And Merchants Bank Field, the $50 million that Mike gave to him, unbelievable. And that's just awesome for the university itself. And I've got to go, because I've got another show at 9:15 here with another radio station. So, Jimmy, I'm done for the day.
Well, you enjoy it, my friend. We will see you. Are you going to the presser?
Of course. I'll be there. I'll see you there.
I'll see you there, brother.
All right.
The Fish opening up on week one with us here as college football will get underway this Saturday. Well, it's already underway. Let me rephrase that. We know that. But the real season, I guess, it's this Saturday. Actually, it starts Thursday. Can't forget that either with those games that I've already mentioned. So, all kinds of things coming up, and I'm ready, man. I know the people are ready. They're ready to tailgate. I've seen where people, hey, I've been out buying my new tailgate stuff, and out with the old, in with the new. It's going to be fun. I wonder how many people are going to be at this first game. I don't know if they'll get it sold out or not, but the fact that it's a 2:30 game certainly helps, because you know, if it was a noon game, boy, that would make it all the more difficult, because it's a noon game, first game of the year against people that, you know, Old Dominion. Well, I think it's going to be a fun game. And I think that Indiana, if they had their druthers, would have it reversed, with Indiana State being the first game and then Kennesaw State and then Old Dominion. That would give you an increase in competition. P4 is P4. You belong or you don't. There you go. SEC didn't say they had to play a good P4 team. Well, no, but there's only so many P4 teams. But, hey, I got to be honest. I still am not I know why they canceled the Louisville series when the change was made, because they don't want to put a coach in a position like that off the bat, although no one knew that Kurt Cignetti was going to wave a magic wand and do what he did, because in complete honesty, I think Indiana beats Louisville last year. That would have given them a game against Louisville this year, in addition to the game against Virginia, which was that this year or next year? And then you're already playing a P4 team. I think that they would have they would have destroyed Virginia. So had they just left that alone, there would be nothing, no complaints. Indiana would be rolling along and ready. But now, is Indiana going to have to go back and reschedule? We're going to have to wait and see what the Big Ten's response is. But I'm going to find it very difficult to believe they don't match the SEC. They virtually have to after all of the rhetoric that was spoken at, say, Big Ten Media Day by people like Kurt Cignetti and whatnot, kind of throwing shade at the SEC, deservedly so. But now the SEC has responded, baby. Now it's in the Big Ten's court. Now they're going to have to respond because they just ratcheted up their strength of schedule. Their strength of schedule is better across the board, but for teams like, I'll take Kentucky, for example. They're going to be playing Louisville. That's going to be their Power Four team year in, year out. But that's a good program. So they'll have, that's going to be their 10th game. That leaves them with just two non-con games that they can schedule. And this is going to make college football even better yet. Last year was his best season in the history of college football, in my opinion. I think we're going to see another great one this year. And I do expect the Big Ten will follow suit, beginning requiring schools. But the thing is, this thing goes into effect for the SEC next season. Next season. Not only do they have to play the nine conference games, they have to have a P4 team schedule. That means they're scurrying about changing their schedules. And if the Big Ten follows suit, Indiana will have to turn around after paying $1 million to Louisville, $500,000 to Virginia to reschedule. More coming up from Indiana Sports Beat Radio as the great Greg Strong will join us next. We've got more right after these messages. Go back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this great Monday. I appreciate you being with us. Greg Strong. And I think we lost him there.
Do you have me, sir?
I believe we do.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I apologize. I am mobile, hence you get the blank screen version of me, which, as radio listeners will tell you, is the much better-looking version of me.
Well, I always say I have a face for radio, a voice for newspapers, and the intellect for yearbook.
That's pretty funny. I'll write that down.
Well, am I lying? I know there's an echo in my ear. I don't know if there's an echo for anyone else.
I am not hearing an echo for anyone.
Good deal.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Obviously, the NFL football game on Saturday afternoon and the start of the high school football season on Friday night. So as weekends go, not too bad.
Well, that sounds good. I believe we do have an echo there. But as soon as I mute your mic, we're okay. Week one of high school football in the books, man. How was it?
It was great. I had Lawrence Central and Lawrence North. LN is a team that's thought to be one of the better teams in the state this year. I think they showed they're still young in some key places. They were playing a Lawrence Central team that had lost a couple of players that were outbound transfers, got a quarterback back that was in their school system that had been playing.
Well, I think we lost Greg there. I'm not sure what happened. We'll get him back. He was having a little connection problem, echo. No pun intended. But he'll come back and join us in a second. But anyway, what a beautiful weekend. No matter what you did, where you went. Rake straw down. Okay, everybody give us your high school team that you are so very fond of. Well, that is the old Highlanders. We got him back now. How are you doing, my friend?
Cymbalance, 1, 2, 3. Mic check, 1, 2, 3, yes, sir, Cymbalance.
Cymbalance, everybody. I've never heard that one before, but that's a great one.
Lawrence North and Lawrence Central, really good, better game than I thought it was going to be. we kind of showcased that game on television because it's a big rivalry, knowing the crowd was going to be great and how important that game is for both those schools. LC was better than expected. LN, again, they've got some really good pieces back, led by Monshin Sales, one of the top recruits in the state. He is a junior as a wide receiver. He's got, you know, state-level track 100 speed, and he's 6'5". You combine those things, and, you know, you will tend to find yourself getting some major college offers, as he has. Zane Moore, who is likely, you know, a low D1, D2 level running back, who is a junior, has been their starter since a freshman year. LN is going to be good. LC was better than expected. And as openers go, when the game is decided with 1.2 seconds left to play, that's a pretty good sign.
Yes, sir. And just to get the season underway is awesome. And what, first of all, how lucky were each and every one of the, not just the players, but the coaches, the fans, for this weather, man.
We didn't have any cramping issues until the third quarter, because it happens in week one every year. Kids don't hydrate properly. You know, coaches scream at them for 2 or 3 days, Gatorade, Pedialyte, you know, bananas, potassium, whatever, and they forget. They don't do it. So it was waiting until the third quarter for that to happen, which was kind of nice. But you are right, and the forecast looks sublime for the next week or so as well. So it looks like, Jim, that week two is going to be every bit as good as week one.
Yeah, and I'm fired up about it. Of course, I didn't get to go see a game, but cannot wait. That we've got college football, of course, rolling in this weekend. It started this past weekend, and for some teams, just a few, but for everybody else, it begins next or this week, as this is a holiday weekend, so there'll be some different games scattered about. And I know that you've got one on the docket as well, if not more than one.
So my weekend schedule will be Carmel and Westfield on Friday night, and then a little Indy 11 soccer on Saturday night. I get a break from football from a college and pro standpoint this week, with the NFL being off, you know, for before the Labor Day weekend. So I get football and the other type of football, and then I get 2 days off, Sunday and Monday. I try to keep Labor Day as low key as possible, knowing that you know, the grind officially hits once we get past Labor Day.
Yeah, it doesn't stop either, man, because although there are bye weekends, you don't have a bye weekend, brother.
I don't have a bye weekend. I at least have a bye Sunday. And again, it's not like I'm digging ditches for a living. You know, if this is my job, life is pretty good. But yes, this coming Sunday will be my last Sunday off for the next 11 weeks. Yes.
But, you know, it's a long stretch, and I know that, but there's also, for what you do, you enjoy what you do.
Of course.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. And if you love what you do, it ain't really working. It just can get stressful and get tiring, but it ain't really working.
Correct. That's absolutely the way I look at it.
And we're so fortunate to have someone like you that does so much in our state, that brings such a familiar voice. Really, I mean, from high school to Indy 11 to some of these college games to the Colts, you've got your little fingers in about every damn thing, Greg. There's not much. There's nobody in this state that covers the breadth of sports in this state than you do. And I'm grateful to have you on with us all the time. But to stop and really think about that, from high school all the way up through the professional team of this state.
Well, first of all, thank you. And again, these fingers aren't that little. They're kind of fat, just as a heads up. So I understand that. But no, this week I've got 4 nights of action, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I tell people that's kind of a relaxed week just because of what I have. The college football I do have, so I brain fade. On Saturday, I get to have no college football. But some schools start on Thursday, and that's the game that I get to have, and it's a really important small college game. University of Indianapolis, who perennially is a 9, 10, 11-win team every year at the Division II level, they are playing at Marion, first time they have played in 9 years. That's D2 power versus NAI power. That game can be seen on MyIndyTV 23 in the Indianapolis area on Thursday night, and should be a good one between Marion and UIndy. Marion just missed the playoffs last year, which is rare for them. Top 16 in the NAI make playoffs. They were 8-2 a season ago. And of course, primarily this is Indiana kids versus Indiana kids, you know, coming out of high school. So, and that place will be absolutely packed at Ascension St. Vincent Field. So if you don't, if you want to go to the game and don't have a ticket, I would suggest you get a ticket soon. If not, you're watching the game on TV 23 in the Indianapolis area.
And then the Colts had their final tune-up, but it wasn't really a tune-up. It was mostly guys that, I don't know, are they making last decisions on playing in that game, although they put up 40 stinking points right on the Bengals. I saw that and I was like, what the hell? That, I'm like, they haven't scored 40 points in eons.
Well, I was going to say, the last time there were conflicting reports is the last time the Colts put up 41 in the preseason. One report said the 60s, another one said 1988. In other words, it's been a minute. It is the most lopsided game that I have seen, and I have been calling Colts preseason games since 2018. And I remember in the Peyton Manning days, the Colts did not give a darn about the preseason and didn't need to, and had some pretty ugly scores in the other direction. Clearly, the Bengals didn't care about this preseason game, even though it was truly, you know, kind of the threes and fours that were playing. The Colts played their offensive backups other than Richardson at quarterback for the first couple of series. Then it was their third string guys. Then it was their four string guys. And to give you an idea as to the success the Colts had, the Colts leading rusher was a player named Nate Noel. 7 carries, 63 yards. He was signed between weeks one and weeks two of the preseason. So they were showcasing the guys at the end of the roster, the guys that aren't going to make the team. And I'm not sure those guys are going to make the practice squad, but just to kind of give them that taste of NFL football and give them that tape and really as a reward for the hard work they put in during training camp. And 1 through 90, although it was probably 40 or 45 through 90, the Indianapolis Colts were fantastic. The significance of that game, I'm not sure there is much to it. But obviously, it was fun to broadcast. It was fun to watch, and I was happy for those guys. In terms of players that played in the game that I think are going to make the active roster, Jim, the story that I will tell you is a young man named Daniel Scott. Daniel was a fifth-round pick out of California in 23, tore his ACL in June of 23 in offseason workouts, did not make it to the preseason, ruptured his Achilles in May of 24, did not make it to the preseason. Played all the preseason this year, played well, and I think because of the injury to Hunter Waller, who was their seventh-round pick out of Wisconsin, who the Colts really liked but is done for the year. He's one of two draft picks that's already on the IR and done for the season. I think Daniel Scott's going to make the last safety position. He got to play a little bit in terms of Saturday's game. The only starter that saw the field was Matt Gonsalves, who was last year's third-round pick out of Pitt, who was kind of the backup tackle last year. He's going to play at the right guard position. They wanted to get him some more reps, so he played the first quarter. Jim, the other player of note would be Juju Brents, who has had even bigger injury issues than Anthony Richardson.
If you don't have a Juju in these days, you're not doing much.
Exactly, and obviously he's the local product, you know, being from Warren Central High School. He only played two games last year, then was out for the season, played about half the season in 2023. He played the first couple of series. I think he's more of a backup for this team now, but the fact that he was able to get out there because he had missed all of the preseason due to injury, really had been out the last 3 weeks, the fact that he played was a very good sign. So Colts played well on Saturday. A lot of those guys won't make the team. And now, Jim, we look forward to tomorrow at 4 o'clock when the Colts have to set their roster of 53 players.
Any shocks or surprises that you're expecting? Which I know it's not you. You're not the GM and all of that, but just your personal thoughts.
You know, I don't think there's any shocks in terms of making the roster. And honestly, I thought the roster was going to be pretty well set. Obviously the $100 million question was who the quarterback was going to be, and it's going to be Daniel Jones.
How surprised were you, even you, to see that?
A little surprised, but I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. You know, I thought that what I had seen in camp of those two players was similar enough that Anthony would keep the job. So that tells you that the Colts feel better about kind of the meeting room, the locker room, with having Daniel Jones. And I understand the inflection point this team is at. In other words, it's not just Chris Ballard for his job, Shane Steichen for his job, but you're also at a roster turning point too. You know, a couple of in the offseason of 24, you extended a lot of players on 2 and 3 year deals with the idea of when Anthony Richardson's contract comes up, and you were hoping at the time you would invest in him in a big extension. When you make that first quarterback contract, obviously that changed the dynamic of what you're going to pay from a free agent standpoint. Well, now it's kind of in a different spot. If you don't think Anthony is the guy, you know, then do you go younger with the next quarterback? And so I believe the Colts give put Daniel Jones in there because they believe it gives them the best chance to win now. Because again, that is the mode the Indianapolis Colts are in. And it's not just for job preservation mode. It's the way the roster is set up for this team as well. They went out and invested in two new starting defensive backs, one at safety, one at corner. You know, you've got guys like Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner who are as good of a defensive tackle pairing as any in the league, but they're in their 9th and 10th years respectively. Kenny Moore is entering year number 9. You're kind of at a point where you have to know what you have, and if not, it's a complete reset and rebuild for this football team. And I think for those reasons, that's why Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback of the Colts in 2025.
Yeah, and there's no going backwards, really. I mean, if this doesn't work, it doesn't really, I'm not sure it even matters what Anthony Richardson does to come back in to that. There's no question that Chris Ballard's job is riding on this. And even, I don't know that that even matters anymore, to be honest with you. Not that that's a discussion we'll get into, but that'll take care of itself. But where do you think the Colts can actually compete this year? Can they compete for a division title or upwards of that?
Division title is obviously the goal because it hasn't happened since 2014. And a division title gives you a home playoff game, which also hasn't happened since 2014. I've always thought the last couple of years, the line of demarcation for the Colts was the playoffs. And the playoffs usually means 10 wins. And I think this group is capable of that if they stay healthy. I think the ceiling is 10 wins, maybe 11. I like what they have pieces in other places. It's just, do you have good enough quarterback play to make that happen? And we will find out. So I think the answer is, Jim, get to 10 wins, get to a playoff game, then this version of the Colts gets to continue. If not, then I think you almost detonate. And it's like, okay, we are starting from scratch and starting over and hitting the reset button on the franchise.
Greg Rakestraw from the Indiana Sports Network. Make sure you are a subscriber, that you are following, that you are keeping up with all that they have to go, because it's nonstop, baby, and it is here. Greg Rakestraw, cannot thank you enough.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Have a great week. More coming up on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We've still got Dustin Apirik to join us and plenty to talk about as college football enters week one. Back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Monday, getting your week started. I hope that you had a good one, and if not, we're going to get you started off the right way, man. Looking forward to Dustin Apirik joining us here as he does on each Monday. Speaking of the devil, there he is. How are you, my friends? How was your weekend?
Doing well. Not bad at all, Jim. How about yourself, man?
It was good. I had a golf outing, a charity golf outing down at home in Southern Indiana over the weekend. This weather, man, I always like to say if we could bottle it, it would be great. But if we could, it would be Southern California, and everybody would live here.
Fair. Yeah. No, good point. So I enjoy the heat, man. I'm good with it staying 90. I'm nervous about this sticking at 70 for you know. It gets us to the cold faster, and I don't like it.
I get that, but the thing is, we're 10 degrees below normal right now.
Yeah, I don't love it.
So that tells me it's going to come back. The old,
I guess. I mean, I'm seeing 70s all summer, week,
whatever, man. The hell that means.
Yeah, I'm seeing 70s all week. I'm gonna miss the 80s really fast for sure, and the 90s. But you know,
they'll be. I've got a feeling they'll be back. Although
we'll have like a mid September thing where it'll just
say, although we're about to hit September, man. Days away from
right.
Well, this weekend, what's Saturday, September 1st?
Yeah, Monday. Labor Day is September 1st. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. August. There's 31 days in August.
That's correct.
There you go. So that's on Sunday. So that just works out perfect, doesn't it?
There you go.
College football is here, man. I know you're a fan. No matter, it's not on your beat right now, but doesn't matter. You're still a fan. You follow the Big Ten. You follow IU. You follow Penn State. You keep up with everything. You're a Renaissance man. But hey, your Penn State Nittany Lions, man, they are one of the teams. Some people consider them the team this year, but there's so many the teams. We don't know. We just don't know who's going to do what. Penn State has been so solid defensively the last 3 years. They're going to have their third different defensive coordinator in as many years, I think. Was Tom Allen there just 1 year?
I think that's right, yeah.
So they'll have their third different defensive coordinator in as many years, but top five regardless of who was there. So that's a huge thing. Because championships are won by defense, if you listen to the old guard. But they've got a returning quarterback. But to me, that's nice. But he wasn't what I would consider spectacular. He didn't have to be.
Sure.
I just don't know how great offensively they will be. But it's going to be interesting to see who is what in the Big Ten. Indiana goes to Penn State late in the season. With three games left, that's November 8th. So that will be a chilly time in Happy Valley there. I've never been to Happy Valley. How happy is it? Well, I think it's a happy place. It's so happy that Dustin froze. He'll unfreeze in a second. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to these. I'm curious as to what Indiana is going to do this weekend attendance-wise. It will be everyone's first look at this offense. This, I don't want to say a new look offense, but it kind of is a new look offense as Indiana has a new quarterback, different quarterback, and just a couple of other pieces. But I don't know how much we'll see. Last year, I think that first game was the only game that Indiana did not cover the spread in, save for Ohio State later in the year. But I think that, and not that I'm suggesting betting for people, but I think that last year, the first game of the year for Indiana was the only game they didn't cover the spread.
Wow.
Which I'm not positive about that. I would have to go back. But it got me to thinking, if you had bet $100 on Indiana to start the year and just rode that out last year, now you're not going to have that chance this year. You could have made bundles. The over-under for wins last year, 5.5. I should have been smarter and made bundles. But
I will say you were ahead of the game. I will say you came into it thinking they were going to be pretty good. And I remember you saying, I think they're going to be such and such record when the year started. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that, Jim. It's the first year head coach and it's a brand new team. And I think you might be out on a limb there. And you ended up right, so I got to give you that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Did not.
This year's a different story.
Indiana was going to be like that.
Yeah, this year's a different story because last year their schedule could not have been handpicked by any coach, as literally every game was a rise. It was a slow rise in talent in challenges until you got to the end and you had Purdue back at the very last game of the year, but. Every game was just set up perfect. This year, oh no, they start off Big Ten play with a top 10 Illinois team. Then you go to Iowa, then you go to Oregon. Yeah, we're gonna find out real quick how Indiana is. We'll find out I don't know Penn State's schedule, so I don't know when their first tough game is. We'll look, but how about the SEC kind of throwing it back at the Big Ten now? after Kurt Cignetti really, really gave it to him with, hey, we're following the SEC scheduling model, which was kind of truth to the point then. Now it is not, as they go to 9 conference games plus having to play a P4 team. So I expect that the Big Ten is going to have to answer in kind to that. And Dustin having some problems this morning on his connection. We'll keep working on getting him in a little more solidly and add him back in. But I'm curious as to see how soon the Big Ten comes back to make that adjustment, Dustin, because that's going to make a huge difference in scheduling. That's going to change things. And it's going to be interesting to see who does Indiana add after having to pay $1.5 million to 2 different teams to get out of that. You know, they paid $1 million to Louisville to end that series. Mm. They paid $500,000 to Virginia. Now they're going to have to turn around and reschedule P4 teams. Well, they not yet, but I'm sure that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it could happen. That, I mean, that was the one thing that I thought was still not a great move. I mean, a lot of people obviously were defending. I'm sorry, Cheryl. I don't know what's up. What is up?
Oh, but I was just putting it up there for folks. Prayers for Cheryl Sizemore, whatever she has something she's dealing with or involved sure. with. So we're one of our absolute favorites and great sponsors, Cheryl Sizemore. So we're thinking about you, Cheryl.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the one part I didn't necessarily, I don't say I didn't agree with it. I mean, but like that, I thought the criticism was fair as far as just saying, it was one thing to say, okay, well, you're not scheduling that tough or you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, you're going after wins, but it's another thing to like back out of contracts. I get why they did it with Louisville. And, you know, I think last season, Indiana deserved the benefit of the doubt of, hey, you could not have possibly expected to be in playoff position. You know, like if you look back in the annals of Indiana football, you would never expect that with a first-year head coach, you'd be, you know, challenging for, you know, to be in the college football playoff. Certainly there didn't used to be a 12-team college football playoff. But, I mean, all the same, you wouldn't expect to be you would think there's a better chance you go 2-10 than you go 10-2. So exactly. It makes sense for you to schedule some wins in there. And I don't think that should have necessarily been held against them. But this season, you know, they made the playoff last year. They, you know, returned a bunch of guys. They added a bunch of guys in the portal. They have every reason to suspect that they're going to be good. Whether they're going to be back in the playoff or not is a different question. But, you know, they're good enough to beat Virginia. You know, I mean, like they're certainly like, I mean, like that's, it's not a nothing game. It's not an easy walkthrough, you know, walkover game. But you know, it's still a game that they should win. And I get the idea. It's okay. You need more home games and things like that. But don't love the idea of breaking a lot of contracts, especially when you get good. You know. I understand the defense. You know, and Cignetti. You know, certainly found a way to turn that into an attack. But all the same, I mean, you know, you were supposed to play somebody and then, you know, you took them off the schedule. They got to figure out something to do with themselves, and whatnot. And, you know, it's a team that you can beat, you know? And so I didn't love that approach. And yeah, no, I mean,
did not either
in a bit of a bind, going forward. If the Big Ten decide that it's going to respond in kind and say, okay, well, if the SEC is going to do it, then we have to do it. They could just not do that. You know, they could just decide, okay, well, you guys can do whatever you want. We're not going to, you know, we feel like 9 conference games enough. You guys are going to get plenty of teams in the playoff. We'll get plenty of teams in the playoff. You know, like, we think this is a better approach. You know, we can let, like, if teams want to schedule P4s, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. So, you know, they could go in either direction there. We'll see. It does put you in a bind where then you're going to have to convince teams you're going to have to want to play them, and maybe the seas change and you end up having to, you know, you end up backing out of contracts again. And, you know, I think that puts you in a weird bind in terms of, you know, coming to these decisions and creating contracts to play teams. And so, you know, I mean, they're going to play, you know, they still have Notre Dame on the schedule, you know, going forward. And so it's like, okay, like if you're a team that breaks contracts or, you know, backs out of contracts, you know, you still want to play that Notre Dame game. You know, you still want to play that series, you know, like you, you, you know, did a lot of work to get on their schedule. And, you know, I mean, you played them in the playoff last year, but that's a game everybody wants to see. You know, you can't back out of that one. What would if Notre Dame says they don't want to play you, you know? So it's not a practice. It, like, again, I get Louisville. I get the idea. And I think if Indiana's AD called me up and if I'm an opposing AD and they're going into a first year head coach's season, they're like, hey man, I wanted to play this too, but we got a new head coach. Like, we got to do something, you know, like this traditionally doesn't work for us. So we need to, I don't want to bury a guy, you know, going into his first year. You know, that's one thing. But after you make the playoff, if I'm Virginia and you're like, yeah, we're not going to schedule a game like that. We don't want to, we don't want these games anymore. You know, I'm a little bit miffed if I'm Virginia. And then, you know, if I'm Notre Dame, I'm like, all right, can I trust you guys? You know, like it's that, like that kind of thing. I think, makes you wonder about some of that stuff going forward. So I don't think I don't think was the best approach. And I mean, it could come back to bite them if the Big Ten decides it wants to do this. Or if it just decides on its own that it wants some, you know, Power Five non-conference games just because it likes the idea of having them. So, you know, we'll see it with that long term. But it wasn't the best look as far as I can say. Again, I get it. I understand also the financial implications. I think Zach Osman wrote a story, I think, last week, just pointing out the layoffs that they had to do in preparation for some of the revenue sharing that might be coming down the pike and, you know, with the lawsuits and everything like that coming through the house. So, you know, like there are a lot of other, you know, financial implications to keep in mind. But, you know, going back on your contracts isn't always the best thing, and it can sometimes put you in a bind.
So I missed somewhere on the comments here. Someone said that if Indiana hadn't canceled that game, they would be playing two P4 teams next year. And I'm trying to figure out who that would be, because Colorado State is not a P4 team. I believe that as of right now, they're a group of five or group, whatever group that they're in now. So that's there, but they're not a P4 team. P4
team only. Now the Mountain West is close. The Mountain West is kind of close to stand to being a Power Five conference that isn't,
but
a power
still not.
Five.
So, but you've got the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10. Those are the Power Four conferences. Right. Outside of that, you're in the whatever they call it now, group of five, group of, and while the Pac-12 is trying to reorganize, as they pulled in half of the old Mountain West teams, I believe, and whatever else, that's still not, you cannot put that on par with the old Pac-12. And right. So it's just not that. So no, sure. they would not have, they would have only had one P4 team on their schedule. And as of right now, they have zero: Colorado State, Howard, and WKU. While Colorado State is probably a little better scheduling than Old Dominion or Kennesaw State, it's still not up to the level of a P4 team. And I look at, like, Alabama, I forget who they opened with. I just saw it earlier, but it was a Power 4 team, and that didn't include, I think it was an ACC team. Well, I also know that they play Wisconsin this year. So, boom, they're already doubling up. So, it's the Big Ten is just going to have to, I don't see in any way possible they don't change theirs to now requiring teams to schedule a P4 team. On top of that, boy, what is that going to do to the scheduling, as Indiana is going to have to go back and reschedule teams after spending $1.5 million to get out of some of those games. But Dustin, again, let's see. We'll get Dustin back on here. He's having a connection issue, but that's okay. We love him. We miss him. We'll get him back on here. But yeah, next year's Indiana schedule, they open up with Colorado State on September the 5th, the Howard Bison, and the WKU Hilltoppers. Now, I will say this, Western Kentucky is not your average group of five team. They'll have some offense to throw at you. They shouldn't be able to compete with you, to be honest with you, defensively. But when it's early, those teams are a lot of times ahead of the curb, so to speak. And Dustin, if you're back in, just say something, because they can't always see you. But that's just next year's schedule. And then also some different teams on the Hoosier schedule next year. Minnesota. They get Northwestern back. They get Ohio State back. Purdue. They get USC and Michigan and Nebraska, Rutgers and Washington. And I expect Washington to be a decent team next year, as this would be the third, that would be the third season for Jed Fish there. Rutgers is still going to be probably, you know, a tougher team to play. But I was just talking, Dustin, about how Indiana is probably going to have to, I'm wondering if they're going to have to replace someone next season, because the SEC, this goes into effect for them next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it certainly depends on, you know, like, depends on a lot of factors. Obviously, depends on what happens this year.
And how much money is this going to cost Indiana to change their season schedule again?
I mean, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, I like, it's possible that they will feel confident enough in Colorado State as saying, okay, well, that's closer. That's not exactly a Power Five, but, you know, it's close. I mean, like, you know, they're coming off 8-5, bowl trip. You know, they certainly have a history of, you know, going to a bunch of bowl games, winning a bunch of bowl games, having some really good seasons, you know, all those sorts of things. So they could say, okay, hey, that's enough. You know, we don't need, you know, a Mountain West team is enough. A Mountain West is sort of like an Atlantic 10 team in, you know, college basketball. You know, it's sort of like you're not in that P4, but you're on the fringe, you know, and that, you know, you can be expected to beat, you know, really good teams from time to time. So they might look at that and say, hey, that's enough. That's as good as we're going to do. You know, like, let's not try to force this. Let's not spend a bajillion dollars. You know, it doesn't make sense to try to, you know, jump Colorado State in terms of being a marquee game, you know. But you're 2027, you're looking at Kennesaw State. If this FB schedules thing is accurate, then you're looking at Kennesaw State, Indiana State, UMass. I mean, wow. That's somehow, you know, I mean, like, Old Dominion's a better looking team than any of those. You know, so you're looking at it. It gets even weaker as you go down the stretch. And so if Indiana maintains its position, it maintains, you know, a spot as a playoff contender, you know, as a top 10, top 15 team that's kind of on the fringe of being a playoff team, and that schedule is going to make the difference, then it's going to have to go get somebody, you know, by 2027. You know, next year might be okay. Next year's probably, you know, Colorado State's probably enough. But yeah, I mean, you're going to have to do that. And the other part is, I mean, like, the you know, when we talk about just like adding teams in the schedule, I mean, like, you know, one issue with last year, you know, Indiana did get benefit of the doubt. But, you know, it didn't end up having as tough of a Big Ten schedule as it's going to have this year. You know, it this year it has two national title contenders in Oregon and Penn State. You know, last year it played a Michigan team that wasn't as good as it was expecting. Obviously played an Ohio State team that was the real deal. You know, but this year they're going to get three teams that, you know, going into the season, people were thinking are playoff contenders, you know, with Illinois, Penn State, and Oregon. You know, this stuff is such a toss-up now, with the Big Ten being what it is, as being as big as it is, that you don't know who you're going to play every year. You know, you don't know how tough you're, you know, like, you have to presume that you're going to get at least one national title contender every year. But you don't know if you're going to have two, you don't know if you're going to have three. And so that makes a difference in terms of how tough your schedule is. I mean, the SEC is still, you know, a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact. And it's still, you know, if you're in the league, you're still more likely to get one of the title contenders, and you have a chance to prove yourself. And so that's going to change, you know, how they're evaluated. And you know, again, it matters where they are. If Indiana falls off a little bit this year, falls off a little bit next year, and they're going to say 2027 feeling like, you know, they don't need to schedule like they're a playoff team, you know, that they just need to get some wins, get to a bowl game, and, you know, kind of keep it moving, they might not decide, hey, let's go get somebody. But I mean, it's going to be something in the future where it's like, all right, do you need to prove yourself to be a playoff team now? And if you don't, you might not. But if you do, you might have to, you know, buy one of these other teams out and then go get somebody else. And, you know, like, to your point, I mean, this stuff does cost money. Now, you know, again, if they're winning, they're going to bring in a much bigger gate. And, you know, then in some cases, it's worth it to keep getting home games and make, you know, over and above what you're paying out. But, you know, these, you know, teams like, you know, these smaller teams are going to depend on bigger buyouts, you know, more and more as they get into the possibility of, you know, like having to pay players and all that sort of thing. You know, they're going to need the money, You know, and they're not going to want to leave a $1 million contract if they're, you know, doing a, you know, guarantee game. So there's a chance this could move the needle in a negative way financially. It's a chance it could not. It kind of all depends on, you know, how things go. And if, you know, it also matters if the playoff committee sets a standard when it comes to scheduling. You know, if it looks at what the SEC is doing and says, we're going to put a premium on that. You know, we've seen certainly the NCAA tournament committee kind of change its standards from year to year, which I think makes sense to me. I mean, it's college sports. It's bound to be chaotic. You know, it's tough to have a sort of even way to judge people. And it's certainly harder at college football when you're, you know, dealing with 130 something teams and they only play 12 games each. Like, you're not going to have a really good across the board metric for strength of schedule. You know, and so it's not an easy thing to do. But if, you know, last year, like, again, I feel like Indiana deserved a lot of benefit of the doubt because they could not possibly have scheduled as if they thought they were going to be a playoff team. Ergo, I think it was worth it to give them a crack at it, and, you know, to loosen the standards a little bit, because, hey, man, you never would have thought first year head coach if you're Indiana is getting in the playoff. Going forward, if Indiana expects to be a playoff team, you know, I understand. I think it makes sense to hold them to a higher standard. And, you know, that comes with scheduling. So if the committee does that, if the committee says, okay, like, we're not letting anybody in, it's not taking any chances in non-conference, then they might see themselves pushed toward it going forward. And the whole league might see themselves pushed toward it going forward. But, you know, the committee has to hold that standard if it wants that. You know, basically, if it wants to see that, then it's going to have to, you know, leave somebody out on the basis of non-conference scheduling. It's going to have to make a decision that way. It's going to have to seed somebody lower at least on that basis and make those decisions and, you know, have their committee chair go on TV on Selection Sunday and say, you know, we left this team out because of non-conference. And so it could make a difference. It could not. Again, the committee could just decide, hey, we really don't care. You know, like, if your schedule's great, cool. It doesn't matter what's non-conference, what's conference. If you're in the Big Ten, that's good enough for us. You know, if you go 11-1 and 12-10-2, that's good enough for us to get in. So we'll see. I mean, they just could let it go and, you know, not do something, but they could find themselves in a bind that they do. So, you know, the SEC definitely decided to move the needle, you know, at the very least. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised. I figured they would just, it'd be a fun war of words for, you know, talking season. But, you know, they actually,
no, they know that the change is afoot as far as the CFP, and mm-hmm. they want as many of those spots as they can get. And yeah. Strength of schedule has been talked about ad nauseum, that is going to play a much heavier role. And I looked ahead of the of Indiana's schedule to 2027, and just their conference schedule, they go to Illinois. They have Iowa at home. They have Michigan at home. They have Penn State at home. They go to Michigan State, and they go to USC. So they're going to have to be careful about who they schedule. But Dustin Aperic with us, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We got to take a quick break. Pause for the cause. Back with more right after this. And he's frozen. We'll get him back on again. Just having a bad time today with Dustin's connection. But, yeah, it is no weddings for me this summer. Good gracious. I think I'm past all that. Brad asking, how are we feeling about IU -22.5? Well, that seems probably about right. I mean, it's the first game of the year, but this is a team who you have to have expectations for. And I think that you need to be able to show that, hey, we have that type of offense. I think that Indiana averaged winning most of their games by higher than that last year. Kennesaw State is not terrible. So, and they're actually on their 2027 schedule as of right now. You know, I talked about that 2027 schedule. What I didn't talk about was their non-con. It's basically the same as this year, save for UMass is in there instead of Old Dominion. But they would open up with Kennesaw State and followed by Indiana State. That is, I mean, no offense to the folks over in Terre Haute, but that is just a bad, bad game. I mean, that's about as easy as it gets. And so, yeah, you're going to have to buckle up. they're just going to have to buckle up, and we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see the path Indiana takes going forward. It's going to be interesting to see what how quickly the Big Ten reacts to this. So interested in that. What are you looking forward to this week, Dustin, if you can hear me? I can't tell if you've locked in there yet or not. I'm not sure if you are, but I hate that the only bad thing about covering football is you miss so many games. I'm looking forward to seeing that Ohio State-Texas game this week. Of course, I'll record them. The ones that we'll get to see some of that before the game, the Indiana game kicks off at 2:30, but unfortunately going to miss a good portion of that. All kinds of good games this weekend, as there are some other non-cons that are really going to be fun. And Texas and Oklahoma, the good thing about that, this is a loss that won't really hurt either team. Let's be honest. If you're Ohio State, you still have a built-in vote of confidence by people. If you're Texas with Arch Manning, you have an automatically built-in confidence from people. Well, they lost that game, but that was to the national champions. So that shouldn't be too much of a knock. They would drop a few spots, but this early in the season wouldn't really hurt them. I'll be honest with you. And I guess that is the benefit of playing that game. Now, if you're going to play a tough non-con game, do you want it right off the bat, which obviously your team is not at its close to its peak performance yet, but it gives you the most time to make up for a loss with better games in between? It's a good question. I think part of it depends on how people see you. And by people, I mean voters and whatnot. Because they already see Texas and Oklahoma and those teams as so solidly. But I still think that I've always thought that entering, or if you're going to lose, losing earlier was better. And as long as you have opportunities to beat teams after that, Indiana this season, they don't have, you know, the back half of their schedule, let's be honest, it's pretty weak. Their best opportunities they have come and get in weeks 3, 4, and what would be 6, I guess, because they have a bye in between. But their 3rd, 5th, and 6th game, those are the best opportunities Indiana's going to have. Home against Illinois, at Iowa, at Oregon, because in the back half, Indiana has Michigan State at home. They have UCLA at home. Then they go to a Maryland team that has lost a lot. Then they have to travel to Penn State. That is the toughest game and truly the only, on paper, tough game they have in the entire back half of their schedule. Then you have Wisconsin come in. And then you go to Purdue, which, yeah, it's a rivalry game, but Indiana should still be fairly superior to Purdue at this point. So their last 6 games, Michigan State, who's still kind of rebuilding, UCLA, both of those are home games. You go to Maryland, which should be an easy win. Penn State, there you go. There's a top 5 game. But Wisconsin, unless we've seen something in the early part of the season that has changed where their trajectory right now, hasn't been great. So if Indiana can go 5-1 in the first half of their season, and I think they do, then that will tell us whether or not they're going back to the college football playoffs, in my opinion, which doesn't mean much. But I like to think that I'm kind of in tune with Indiana football more than other sports, just because I follow it so much. And I think they beat Illinois at home. But I also think that they go to Iowa and pull down a gigantic win. But that game is going to be, I think it's going to be much tougher than people think. I don't know what this quarterback is going to be like for Iowa. That is going to be the X factor. Oregon's a game that's a 50-50, man. You toss it up. If you lose it, yeah, it would suck for them. But it's also a game you're supposed to lose. This is a top seven, whatever team they are. You're supposed to lose that game. And as long as you play it close, even, I don't think they're going to be penalized for that. But you also can't get blown out by Penn State. You have to show, even losing those two games, you have to show that you're competitive. While I thought that they were more competitive with Ohio State than a lot of people thought last year, they made some just crucial mistakes that just exacerbated things. But we'll see how that works out. I'm ready to get to the conference games. But I am looking forward to Saturday, to seeing people walking around. If anybody wants to start doing an Indiana Sports Beat tailgate, we can do that. We can have some fun. I don't know how many of you actually are able to go to games. I know we have a great Bloomington audience, and there's others that from all around that come in, but I just don't know how many of you there actually are. So if somebody wants to kind of start running with that, organizing it, we'll do some stuff. We'll kick in. I'll buy some hamburgers or hot dogs or whatever the case you guys need. David says he thinks that IU will make history this year and beat Penn State. You heard it here first. Well, they've beaten Penn State before, but this would be that would be a major win, because it would be very late in the season. And Penn State, as of right now, is a team some consider a running for the national championship. So is Oregon. We don't know. Oregon is in week six, or actually it's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's week 7, to be honest with you, because there's a bye. But Dusty says, Archer Fernando, who are you taking? Well, I got to be honest with you. Arch has nothing proven yet. So I would probably take Fernando just because he has proven himself by throwing for 3,000 yards with little to no protection. But Arch Manning is Arch Manning. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of hype, but there's reason for that hype besides the fact that his last name is Manning. Jason says, Old Dominion, we have a parking spot. I'm not sure what that means. So Russell asking, will it sell out and can he bring his snowmobile to the ISB tailgate? Well, you can bring it, but I don't know what the hell you're going to do with it. Park it on a trailer, I guess. David doesn't think that IU has to beat Penn State at Happy Valley. Well, I didn't say they have to. They don't. But they do have to play them competitively. They do need to be in the game, because that's been the whole issue in Indiana. They only lost two games last year, to the national champion and the runner-up to the national champion. But they were just they were just out of both of those games. They weren't getting, you know, the crap kicked out of them, but you could just tell they were just a step behind and made mistakes that they couldn't overcome. Jason has season tickets and a tailgate spot. There you go. It's so hard too. I get around to a bunch of different places. Just people let me know all that. Brian says Arch has 6 million and Fernando doesn't. That's all we know. Well, who cares about that? Who cares? Brian, if IU were 9-0 going into the Penn State game, it will be massive. Well, of course it will be. That's why the Ohio State game was so huge last year. Indiana's second appearance of the season on College Game Day. And Fox Big Noon Kickoff were all there. Everybody was there. That was a massive game. And Indiana was, they were close, but there were just certain plays. I remember giving the, when they gave up 49 yards on two plays defensively on in their own end of the end zone against Ohio State with a long third down and a long fourth down. That was a game changer. And just if they could have taking care of business. But we're talking this year, peeps. And those games are a long ways away. Illinois game's a month from now. That is going to be a great game. That's going to be a big game. Illinois should be undefeated. Indiana should be undefeated. So you should have two 4-0 teams, Big Ten 4-0 teams, not only is that going to be two 4-0 teams, that is going to be huge for both of, for Indiana and Illinois. Whoever wins that game keeps their college football playoff hopes alive. You lose that game and it's never too late. But if you lose game four with the games that I know Indiana has left, you're going to be in a little bit of an issue. Because you cannot lose more than two and still make the college football playoffs. Not this year, at least. I wonder what the Illini schedule looks like. We'll take a quick gander at that. Now, Duke is a P4 non-con team, but not a great one. That's in the second week for them. Then they go back to Western Illinois after playing or Western Michigan after playing Western Illinois, then the Hoosiers. Then they host USC. Then they get Purdue. Then they host Ohio State. The Illini then go to Washington. They host Rutgers. They host Maryland. They get Wisconsin. A lot of similarities here in his schedules between Indiana and Illinois. Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin and Northwestern, that cannot be there. Holy smokes. You want to talk about an easy schedule? The Illini's got it. Mercy, my Mio. They open up with Western Illinois, like I said. Then they play a Duke team that lost their coach. Then they play Western Michigan. Guaranteed 3-0. Then they get Indiana. Then a USC team that I at home that I don't know what they're going to be like this year. Then they get an easy Purdue team. They do get Ohio State. But Washington, middle of the road team. Rutgers, middle of the road team. Maryland, a substandard team. Wisconsin, middle of the road team. Northwestern. Illinois plays nobody besides Indiana and Ohio State. USC, but they have a much easier schedule than Indiana does. Holy smokes. Yeah, that's, you want to talk about having a, why is no one talking about Illinois' schedule? Holy gee whiz. You want to talk about a cakewalk? All right, let's even go including how good teams were last year. USC, not good last year. Purdue, sucked last year. Ohio State, national champion. Washington, middle of the road last year. Rutgers, middle of the road. Maryland, substandard. Wisconsin, substandard. Northwestern, substandard. Wow. That's one of the easiest schedules in all of Division I. But yet they're ranked in the top 12, I believe. So man, you want to talk about someone's schedule. Just out of curiosity, what their schedule looks like next year as of right now. They play Duke again, but that one's at home. Then you got the Salukis of Southern Illinois. And I don't see another non-con game. They're missing it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, they as of right now, or minus a non-con game, which is probably smart of them since they probably might have to add a P4 team. But next year, they get Nebraska at home. They get Oregon at home. They get Ohio State on the road. Their schedule is pretty easy. Again. So, mercy. Yeah, we need to start talking about the Illini schedule. That thing is weaker than watered down iced tea. Holy moly. Fred points out the Reds are a game and a half out of the wild card, and it's just August still. When you say only, they were just a half a game out. They haven't done. Brian says that Duke is considered P4. See how stupid that is. Well, why? They're in a power conference. Duke has had some success lately. I'm not talking about CFP success, but they've been in bowl games. Their coach is now at, I believe, Texas A&M, right? So, and if you recall, I think that's the coach that Peyton Manning would always talk to. So Duke hasn't been terrible. And they're not terrible, but it's okay. Well, it's not stupid, Brian, because why did Indiana cancel the series with Virginia? Who is bad? Why would you do that? Just for a home game, question mark? When you're losing the amount of money that you would make on a home game. So that was pointless to me, in my opinion, but there are possibly other things that went into that I'm not aware of. But canceling the Virginia series, that was dumb in my opinion. It would have saved Indiana money in the long run now, I think. And there's, you know, who are they going to get to replace that? Because that's something you do have to do. You got to replace it. Speaking of some things you got to do, we've got to take a quick pause for the cause. Lots more coming up. Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you. Back with more right after these messages. Andy, welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Monday of game week, baby. It is week one in college football. Hey, over the weekend, plenty of other sports took place. I got to watch some golf. As the Tour Championship, BMW Tour Championship, came and went. And Tommy Fleetwood, well-known and well-liked by plenty of fans, golfing fans. But he, in like 164 starts, he had been very successful, but had never won a PGA event until yesterday. And boy, he picked the right one to win it, let me tell you, because that thing, that paid pretty, pretty, pretty good. I forget how many millions of bucks that thing paid to start with, but I would certainly love to have it myself. But, man, he played well all the way throughout and was able to pull it down. Finally notched his first PGA Tour victory after posting a 2-under 68 to finish 18-under in the Tour Championship, three strokes ahead of Russell Henley and Patrick Cantlay. Scottie Scheffler just like 4 or 5 strokes back, kept kind of coming but could not really get there. Man, that's one to make some money. Then you had the British Masters going on, and an a live event that went to a playoff with Bryson DeChambeau and his team. They had a team situation there, but I got to tell you, Bryson DeChambeau has become a very, very good golfer. He used to get a lot of grief, but he has turned himself into one hell of a golfer. As John Rahm's team outlasted them yesterday to win that. But I'm trying to figure out, what did that thing pay, man? I know that someone else that have that up there probably before I do. It's hard to jump around, but I'm just trying to see where that payday was, because the paydays in golf are nuts. Man, Scheffler did post a 268, tied for fourth at 14 under. That's his 14th consecutive top 10 finish, which ties Jack Nicklaus in 1977 for the longest streak in the last 50 years. You want to talk about somebody who's on a roll. Man, there we go. I thought it was 10 million, Robert and Fred. 10 million bones, baby. 10 million. That's not a bad payday at all. Now, I don't think that compares to what the LIV tournament paid, of course, but it's just freak money. They have teams in that. John Rahm and his Legion 13 team outlasted Bryson DeChambeau and the Crushers in a Sunday playoff in the LIV Golf League team final. That was just some fun golf. If you're a golfer, you had all kinds of things going on. You had the NASCAR race in Daytona this weekend as well. And I think that was run by Ryan Blaney. And that was a hell of a race, because that thing, that's, you know, one of the restrictor plate races. And so there were some wrecks, and the racing was just close. Great weekend of sports. Russell asking, why did that guy destroy his racket at the U.S. Open tennis? Didn't see it, but I can tell you why. He was pissed off. He got mad. He did something he didn't want to do, probably. Russell asking, do they buy those tennis rackets? No. They're given to them by the manufacturer of the one that they use. It's like golf clubs. Golfers don't buy golf clubs, man. The best golfers in the world, they don't buy. They're begging them to use their stuff. That's right. The U.S. Open began, tennis. It's a busy time of sports. Lots and lots going on. And we'll have lots going on this week. We'll be meeting with Kurt Cignetti today. We'll have hear his comments tomorrow on here as he gets ready for his second season at the helm of the Indiana Hoosiers. I don't think there's a question that he'll have his, 15th consecutive? How many seasons has Kurt Cignetti been a head coach? Never had a losing season. So I don't think that's even close to being a potential issue. Will he get back to the college football playoffs? That's a question. I mean, you want to talk about a run. Get your first two seasons in P4 football, and you can go to the CFP. Not only go to the CFP in your first 2 years, but do it with a team that has never won. Oh, Fulton, he does not have a softball game on the last Saturday morning, but the other team forfeited, and they are heading back to their state softball game for back-to-back championships. So good luck to you, Fulton. Hope you get that done. Russell asking, will Cignetti be on the show? We're trying to get him on at some point. Normally, that is always at Big Ten Media Days, and I chose not to go to Big Ten Media Days this year because it was in Las Vegas, and the time was so goofy. And Fred says they should give equipment to a radio sports talk. Oh, I agree. But I also will tell you that I don't think there's a piece of equipment in the world that can make my game that much better. So what is that design on? Are you talking about my current shirt? I'm not sure what you're asking. This is just that's an Adidas logo, and that's from Valley View Golf Course, which is where I played this weekend down home at in Floyd County there. That's in Floyd's Knobs. And you know what? I think Zen Mikowski may be only the second major athlete that I can think of that has been on an Indiana roster from Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, following Pat Graham back in the day. And I could be wrong, but we'll see. Man, what a great start to the week. Fish is back. Had a little bit of an issue with Dustin today, but we'll get that straightened out, his connection. And, of course, Greg Rakestraw. And then tomorrow we'll hear from not only Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News as he gets prepared for the opening of the sports season. In addition to, we'll hear from Kurt Cignetti and see what else we could get going for you as well. I'm here, baby. The season is upon us. Game week is here, and it starts on Thursday, don't forget, as the games, the long holiday weekend, the Labor Day weekend, last weekend for a lot of pools to be open. Yes, and Brad asking, yes, there will be a pick'em. I'm going to try to get that set up today, get our old friend Pete to set that up. He does the great job, and I've decided we are going to use the spread because picking wins and losses is just too easy. The spread is what makes it difficult and makes it adds an element of a challenge to it. My opinion. So unfortunately, I make the decisions, and that's where we're going. Man, thinking about you, Cheryl. No matter what you got going on, we'll all be thinking about you, and we'll be back tomorrow to do it all again. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. Grateful to have you guys along. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.